This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Red. I've shut him up, boys and girls. He was still ranting on the wimp. We move along to a lovely Christmas, or sorry, Christmas, Easter present for one Nick. Yeah. There's lots of names in this show this week. I'm not going to manage.
I can get my head around this one.
I'm not helping.
Well, go on then.
No, I said I'm not helping because you've just been rude to me again.
Dialoisio.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
As an aficionado on Italian because of The Sopranos, it is Dialoisio.
Right, that sounded good. I'm sure Nick's going to be very, very proud of you saying it that way. Anyway, 17-year-old Nick, our sources tell us, has got £20 million. Well, that's never been confirmed by Yahoo, because Yahoo have bought an app off of him.
I know.
And he's actually he's working for Yahoo as well. He designed this app when he was 15 and got some investment money. But now he's one of the world's youngest self-made millionaires. Good man.
Is he self-made, though?
Of course he is. Well, he made it.
His mum and dad made him.
Yeah, and Yahoo gave him the money.
Yeah. So
he invented the app himself.
Yeah,
That's all he did. He got the money off Yahoo, and his parents gave birth to him, like Rachel says. So he's not a self-made millionaire at all.
He made a product, he sold it, and he got 20 million quid. He's self-made.
You do argue about the most silly things.
And anyway, it's quite interesting because it means that if this app does do what it claims to do, which everybody says it does, it should put Yahoo well above other people in a smart way of searching on the internet, which I have to say, because the internet is now so big, it does need something to sort itself out. We may have another internet story about them, and I'm getting really angry about it.
Well, there is a good point to this, though, and I applaud, as much as I take the mickey out of him, Nick Dialoisio, about what he's done, because this is what the internet and news should be about. The internet's one grand referral site to proper news providers like the Daily Mail. It does not provide its own news service. There's nothing wrong with the Daily Mail, is there, Rachel?
I don't know. We don't get it. Sorry, that was terrible. Yes, there's nothing wrong with the Daily Mail. I've eaten chips out of it many a time.
Yeah, it's exactly what it's for.
That was so much. That was just a wet T-shirt remark for Easter.
That was a definite innuendo.
In anybody's head, no.
Yeah. Right, are you going to carry on defending the Daily Chronicle, or are we giving up on that?
Well, the Daily Mail has the biggest number of hits for any news site on the internet. And what this little delirium has done is move things on in the correct direction, that the internet becomes a massive news feed to places like the Daily Mail, or even the Guardian, or the Daily Telegraph. The granny had is such an old joke, Eric.
The Grundian.
Well, it is famous for all the mistakes it gets in literals and spelling and things like that. But that's because it's produced so quickly.
No. It's, hello, my name's Robert from Tunbridge Wells. I've just arrived. That was the adult entertainment section.
That's disgusting.
It's true, though. Saudi Arabia have got their knickers in a knot about Skype, apparently, again, which is so boring. I'm going to give a little message to the Saudi Arabian government in a moment. And the reason they want to ban Skype from being used in the country, it's because it's so well encrypted that they can't actually hack into it and hear what people are saying. And it's a similar thing to what they tried to do to BlackBerry messaging a few years ago, where they said, oh, you can't do that because the government can't see what you're doing. Now, Saudi government, hold on a minute. Any spotty teenager in 2013 will tell you how to use VPNs and all sorts of other wondrous toys. So even if you ban Skype, they can do it via other methods. And you still won't see the messages because it will still be encrypted. So you still lost out. What you've actually done is said, hang on, we're a backward state.
Well, I agree with you. I think that's spot on. But it does make a very powerful point about the internet, that the internet is basically about voyeurism.
Why?
Well, this has been sold as a battle for freedom of speech, but actually what it is the absolute opposite. This is condemning freedom of speech, and it is all about the ability to listen by governments to other people's conversations, the thing that the press in Britain has been taken to task for 3 years.
That's a good tenuous link.
I've got another 9.
I'm sure you have. If it comes down to protecting the press, you always have. Anyway, we don't think that's a good idea, Saudi government.
No, we don't.
Moving along, accountants and my chairman actually says, if ever you want to ruin a good business, put an accountant in charge. It'll be failed in a couple of years.
Yes, that's true. they're really a scourge.
They are rather.
Like rabbits.
Yes. But anyway, one accountant seems to have got a sense of humour.
I find this incredulous. I think we should immediately call Guinness Book.
Yes.
Because there's an accountant with a sense of humour.
Is this an oxymoron as well? No, it's not, I know. And a Canadian accountant has managed to create a basic video game using Excel spreadsheets. And it's a big story.
There are.
And it just proves my point about the numptiness of journalism.
How does it do that?
Because years ago...
Oh, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, when he was 40.
Years ago, there used to be things called, get this, Easter eggs.
Right.
Only these Easter eggs were little tricks that were embedded into software, such as Excel and various other pieces of Microsoft software, by the super technicians, and they would give you clues as to how to find the Easter egg. The Easter egg was a game that you played in things like Excel. This isn't news. It's the lack of knowledge from those writing the news. Otherwise, they'd known it's been done 10 years ago.
Actually, that is the most insidious, most ludicrous, most stupid attack on the press I've ever heard. This bloke has just invented this game. That's why it's news. It's an accountant, and the headline should have been, Accountant Excels at Creating Video Games.
It's been done before, though.
Yeah, but this bloke's just done it. Look, he's like
a
rock that. Yeah, well, exactly. Thank you, Rachel. Spot on,
that's
dear.
Right.
You can work
that's
for me
right.
anytime. This is like the rock star called Squiggle. It is. It's made up. It's something that's made up out of digits. And come on, we've all got digits, haven't we?
Yes, I have 10.
Do you?
Do you?
On my hands.
Well, that's it. Men have 21.
Yeah, I know, but you don't use it as a rule. Anyway,
not for more than 9 inches.
He's just jealous, boys and girls, because my lead comment when I worked in Clubland was I'm just about to whip out a 12-incher for the girls. But you have to know vinyl for that one. Yeah, vinyl. Anyway, moving along. An American owner of a diving camera, which was lost in Hawaii in 2007, has been traced.
I know, but this is going back to your point before, that if we use your form of news editing, we would not use this story.
Why?
Because it's happened before.
So,
this is a regular happening now, people dump the cameras in the sea, somebody dives in, finds it, and all of a sudden it goes round the world. Somebody's dropped the digital camera in the sea, somebody dived in, somebody found it, here's your camera back. What a boring story this is!
It was found in Taiwan on a beach. It was lost in Hawaii.
I've tied one on in Taiwan.
That's why it's special.
That is
because it was like Castaway. It was like Wilson, the volleyball. Yeah. You know, you travel with this. Oh, the things it must have seen.
Yes. This is the fourth story of the same ilk that's come out of America in the last 18 months.
Maybe so. But they're not all the same place, so they're all different.
And different people involved. I think it is a good story. I was just applying your news editing skills to this.
Oh, arguing for arguing's sake. I love it.
I know, yes. My other point was, of course, if it had been one of those old film cameras... the old analog clicky things. He wouldn't have stood a chance of finding out where it belonged.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Disintegrated.
So digital is much better than analog.
I just ask a techie question here?
If you want,
this is a serious question.
Yeah, hang on. I've just got to take my head down a few levels. 1 minute, I'm getting there. Right, I'm down at the toilet.
Right, here you are, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure this is a question you all wish to ask. If you drop your laptop in the sea and somebody dives in and rescues it, would that come back working?
Some bits of it could, yeah.
Only could? What's the difference between that and a digital camera then?
Well, because in a normal laptop you've got a hard drive, not a flash memory card.
You should never flash your hard drive.
And your hard drive would be wrecked by the sea salt, the water or the salt water, whereas a flash memory card can survive.
The camera didn't survive, but the memory card did.
Correct.
Interesting question, then. Interesting. Yeah. Thank you, ladies. I can hear you applauding for me asking that question.
You're quite right, Lee. My new lovely Acer Windows 8 tablet will, of course, survive because it is flash memory, not a hard drive.
Do you actually have an underwater PC? A PC, like you can take a camera underwater. Could you take a PC underwater?
Yeah, you put it in a bag, a proper one. They're made for them. You can buy them.
Because I wouldn't be stupid enough to drop it in the water.
Well, that's very true. Thank you, Rachel. But no, you can actually buy bags that you put things like laptops in for safety, and they are watertight, and they prove them by advertising them taking pictures underwaterly.
Right, so I rest my case. I would like to say very, very briefly...
Mm-hmm.
No, I wouldn't like to say that very briefly because it's just got out of my head completely.
That's all right. We're now coming up from the gutter level. I love this story about the guy in China, the bus driver who's been hailed a hero.
Oh my God, I watched it. Oh, yeah. I was nearly sick.
Mr. Mao was absolutely astonishing as this bus hurtles down the road and a lamppost, which had been knocked over by two cars in a separate accident, came hurtling through his front window. Even though it ruptured his spleen, he still managed to stop the bus safely. The 26 passengers were all off of it, no problem. And I don't know about hero. This guy is a saint as far as I'm concerned because how he did that, the pain must have been excruciating. But
I think he might have been in some form of shock and probably a lot of adrenaline would have been pumping through him, the poor thing. And I don't think he realised he was injured for a little while.
No, that's true, actually. I
think that is true, yeah. But there is a point here that needs to be made.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying that Mr. Mao Tse-hee-ha-ho is a hero.
Yeah.
There is a simple point.
What?
That he was actually talking to somebody on the bus and not looking at the road when this accident happened.
Perhaps it wouldn't have mattered because it was a missile that went through the window. He could have been looking at the road dead on and this thing was still going to go straight through the window like a torpedo.
So it came from his side.
But if he was looking, he could have taken evasive action. That's all I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen.
It was too fast, Lee. It was too high.
The actual length of the pole was way past the length of the bus. So even if he'd have swerved, it could have done even more harm and got him in the head.
It would have taken out passengers, I reckon.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Lee.
I agree. Mr. Zihihaw is a hero. Right. But he should have been watching where he was going.
I think we answered that, didn't we, Rach?
Yeah.
I think we did.
I didn't think you answered it adequately enough.
Lee.
Oh, well, whenever do we?
No, I think we'll just summarise that to Lee.
You're
the word beginning with W that I can never say because I'm never that. That word. The word that means not correct. There's another word for it. Begins with W.
I'm not ashamed of being wrong. I could be wrong on everything I say. I have no shame about it.
Do you know? No, I wasn't gonna, I'm not going to do that joke. It's too old. On the Costa Costa del Brits, Costa del Sol, apparently an alligator's on the loose.
And there's always an alligator on the loose in this part of the world. What's wrong with you people?
Wait, what? In Spain, alligators on the loose? On the Costa del Sol?
They're everywhere. They're always an alligator. It's loose somewhere. It's either in Spain or it's somewhere somebody thinks they see an alligator, which they don't actually. So they see a log in the Thames. And,
do you think it's the same alligator, Rachel?
I think it's
probably a backpacking crocodile or alligator, isn't it? It's just that, and everybody sees it and gets frightened. That's ridiculous. It's the time for alligators too, you know.
Yeah, right. Okay, on to the wackiest story of the week, which I'm sure Lee will defend, as he does normally with his stuff. A beach actress who's known for both art house and mainstream films is performing one of her new pieces in the Museum of Modern Art in New York. Any guesses, boys and girls?
Androgynous is a clue.
Why?
She's sleeping in a glass box.
Yeah.
Snow White.
How can that be art?
That's just stupid.
Rachel, I was going to seek support and succor. If you forgive the
phrase, that's just bad luck, Donald Duck, because you're not going to get it from me. This woman's out of her gore.
Exactly. How can sleeping in a plastic box be considered art?
Well, make sure there's no oxygen and you'd impress me.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked now.
Are you?
I just don't like her. She's beige.
There's a Serbia bomb. Right, yeah, this is what I was going to say to you, Rachel, and I thought you would agree on this. There is a very well-known Serbian-born performance artist called Marina Abranovic. Right, Abranovic, yeah. Do you know her as well?
Yeah.
Go on, what does she do?
Don't know.
What she does is the tent lady?
Yeah.
No, she's renowned. For physical endurance and self-mutilation. And she spends hours sitting in a room by herself, and the audience comes and sits before her, and they just look at each other for as long as possible. It could go on for hours, it could go on for days, it could go on for weeks. And that's all that happens. No, it's the most beautiful...
Self-indulgent and a waste of time.
He's going to use the word erudite in the minute in this sentence. I can feel it.
No, I'm not, because that's not a word. That's like anodyne. You put it on cuts. She creates an atmosphere of such intensity between two human beings that is the performance and the movie. I've cried. I went to one of her performances.
I would break wind just to see what happened.
Rachel, you are now just proving that you're an Antipodean.
No, she's proving she's got sanity.
She's breaking my antelopeness.
Yes.
She's proving that she's happy to trump in an art gallery.
That's all right.
God, trumping's not the thing you do in an art gallery.
Well, then that's logical. If you do that, you get a private showing in the art gallery.
Get a private showing in your underpants.
don't go there, Lee, because I'll get you on that one.
I've never had a private showing in my underpants.
Not when the dog carried them around.
Oh, well, I can tell you about that.
No, perhaps not. let's move down to the hysterical story of the week, which is bottom of page 7. I just don't believe this. I think there's going to be stair lifts installed this year at the Glastonbury Festival. Why is that the case? Because the strolling bones have finally been confirmed as one of the headline acts for this summer's Glastonbury Festival. Are they desperate? Good grief almighty. Not only that, there's Kenny Rogers there, who's had so many facelifts, his beard is behind his ears.
And... And he's become a Hindu because his belly button's in the middle of his forehead.
I met him. He's a really nice man.
Yeah, but he's had so many facelifts, his beard is behind his ears.
I met him when he had his original face.
Did you?
Quite a while ago.
You were about two at the time then.
Well, you say it's two-faced?
No.
No, it's about 12 by now.
And I have to be honest, boys and girls, I do have in my music collection, which is quite vast, as Lee will verify, and in actual fact, my music collection is very, very, very eclectic in styles and genres and everything else. I just don't get the Rolling Stones.
I've got to say, I don't really get the Rolling Stones either. The reason they've never appeared at Glastonbury before is because they're not very good.
Yeah.
You know, look, if you look,
the fuss is about with them. I really don't. I don't get it.
Well, Mick looks like he's got an eating disorder. Keith looks like he's got every aging disease you could possibly suffer from. Yeah. And the rest of them look like they're on a day out from a drop-in centre. You've got to remember, Glastonbury is not the rock and roll vanguard that it used to be. This is the place that put Rolf Harris on. Why don't they put Orville the Duck on?
Rolf Harris was brilliant on stage. I thought that was hysterical. But I'll tell you what, seriously, if they wanted, how do I put it, some mature rockers to go on and headline, Status Quo.
They're great.
No, they're not. They've got
they're brilliant.
One tune. They're like Daniel O'Donnell of the rock world. They've got one tune and one set of lyrics that they just keep putting out again and again in a slightly
great.
Different
they're
way.
They're great.
I saw Francis Rossi spit his teeth out on stage by accident. His false teeth. I was at the concert. Frankie Rossi.
Did he continue singing? What a professional.
No. Oh, it was awful because he was so embarrassed, he went and picked them up and shoved them back in again.
He could also, Francis Rossi can also put a pencil through the bottom of his nose.
That's disgusting.
He's got a hole in his nose from where he used to go all the time.
That's a pencil instead.
He's got the Stevie Nicks septum.
He has indeed. But in actual fact, both Rossi and the boys of the band, they are absolutely stunning. They were incredibly kind to my brother, actually. And we went backstage. They had their pictures taken with him. We were sitting on the table for dinner with them. Really, really nice in the O2. They're great guys.
I'd sit on a chair. Were you just being bohemian?
Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds are going to be there, which is awesome.
That is good. That is good.
Absolutely. Guess who else is on, ladies and gentlemen? This is really important because this is really good. Oh. Rufus Wainwright is appearing too. Now, he's worth going to see, and so is Billy Bragg.
I thought you were going to say Elvis Costello for a minute.
Well, he's a bit... I like Elvis Costello, I must admit, but he's a bit... like his little hats and little beards and little pokey eyes and everything. He's just a bit past his sell-by date, isn't he?
Well, Rita Ora's going and she's not bad.
She's all right.
Mumford and Sons are going. They're good.
They're pretty good. They've played with his Royal Bobness, of course. They were actually his backing group.
Oh, well, Sandy Shaw won't be going because she thinks people like Mumford and Sons are actually privileged performers.
Well said, Sandy.
Stick her in a box with Tilda Swinton.
What?
I think I understand what she's saying. It's a bit cryptic and a bit...
Stick her in a box. Stick her in a plastic box with the sleeping Tilda Swinton. That's what I say.
I see what you're saying.
I understand. That was a bit girly for me, but I got there.
Yes. Well, apparently Sandy Shaw's been talking in the Houses of Parliament in the UK to the Culture, Media and Sports Select Committee. Well, they know naff all about music anyway because they're all a zillion years old. And she was complaining that the music industry was dominated by Simon Cowell-type stuff.
Spot on. Well said, Sandy.
There's a problem with that.
Go on.
Well, this is the bit I don't understand, right? If it is that the general public en masse, over 50%, want the Simon Cowell music, why should the older people who are not popular with those buying the music criticise Simon Cowell?
Nobody has the right to criticise anybody for making money.
No.
Well, they do, really, don't they?
No, they really don't. And they don't, they, especially in the manner in which they do it. Simon Cowell, I don't particularly like him, and I don't particularly the stuff that he says either. I don't like his nephew's Wrong Direction or whatever they're called. But he's a smart, savvy business guy, and he's made a lot of money, and good on him.
Well, right, but it's how he made his money, isn't it? It's by introducing people like Will Young to this world and stuff like that.
But mummies love him.
Well, maybe they do love him,
Now that iTunes has come along and little kids can now buy a single on iTunes for a dollar whatever instead of having to buy a whole album, the whole way the industry works is completely different.
Yeah.
And the demographic that are buying all this gear, they're the ones buying it all. The oldies who are moaning about it aren't buying anything. Buy something and put it in competition with the 20s, I say.
Exactly. If they buy the music, no problem. And there is some good news for Australia as well this week, Rach. The Brits are going to take over Australia's Got Talent and take it a little bit up market.
Well, we took over their crime, didn't we? We might as well do another crime.
That's right. And you know what? It's great because Australia's Got Talent died on Channel 7 last year. It died because it was in direct competition with Channel 9 and The Voice, and it was the first season of The Voice. And because it was new, it was huge.
Mm.
So because Australia's Got Talent had two judges, one of which we got from Ireland, horrible Brian McFadden person.
Who was that?
The other one is Brian McFadden from that horrible thing he is. Yeah, he was one judge. Danny Minogue was another. I don't have to say a word. And the other one was a shock jock here called Kyle Sanderlands, who's just an offensive animal anyway. Mm. And it was really a pillicky kind of a show. It was horrible.
No.
And nobody watched it. Nobody watched it. Nobody liked it. Nobody bothered. And it was boring. And so Channel 9, being the savvy bunch that they are, and they've also got all the money, they've now bought it. And they're putting it on. And Mel B, who is going to be one of the judges, has defected from the X Factor on Channel 7.
Well, anyway,
to go on. Aussie's Got Talent. It's going to be great.
Well, anyway, boys and girls, I haven't got time to tell you about the only way that Argentina can get its hands on the Falklands is to bring out a game from a studio in, would you believe, Argentina. I haven't got time to tell you about a Picasso that sold for $155 million. By the way, I've got the better version. I copied it off the internet, printed it on my printer. I've now got it in a frame. And I haven't really got time, but I will tell you about Google. In 30 seconds, Google complained to the Swedish Language Council and asked them to remove a word meaning ungooglable from its language. Google have decided that they wanted to keep their trademark clear. Funny that, Google. You don't do it for anybody else, do you? And apparently they didn't want to comment about it after complaining about it. But it was the Google lawyers that went to the Swedish Language Council who said, we can't really be asked about this. I quite agree with them. We'll see you next week, boys and girls. Say goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Rachel.
Goodbye, Lee.
Bye-bye, Lee.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.